Off the Ball.
GAA.
Junior club players around the country would get the same attention. Players are targeting McPhail, and he has to be ready for it.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
14 minutes past nine, we're turning our attention to football. Are we going to start with Ireland, or do we want to do something sexier and more interesting? What's everybody feel like this morning?
What could be sexier and more interesting?
Well, who's going to win the Euros? I mean, it's Euros week. We're starting here, and obviously we live in a very English-centric world, but like, who is going to win the Euros? I actually don't know.
Well, England, I think if you back England, I think you'll get your money's worth. But I was listening to Ray Parler, I think, yesterday on one of the social medias, and he was basically saying that he done the predictor and England get France in the semi-final. So I don't see England beating France. And I know the last game between the two, Harry Kane misses a penalty, it's nip and tuck. But I think defensively England are very questionable. And I done the England and Iceland game. Kieran Trippier's been out for a long time. Shaw hasn't played since February. Gahey has had his injuries as well. So there's an awful lot of injuries, an awful lot of rustiness in that England back four, England back five, if you want. So I see them being able to be got at, but up the top of the pitch, you know, there's some of the players they have, Kane, Bellingham, Foden, Saka, you know, they can go and cut through anybody, but defensively, I don't think they're strong enough to go and win the Euros.
He doesn't seem brave enough either to try and go and win games 3-2 or 4-3, that like he's going to try and batten down the hatches, but they don't have a team to do that.
Well, they can play four at the back, and they will obviously have Rice in there. I'm thinking he might go with Bellingham, and Bellingham will be allowed off the leash, and Rice will be the one to go and cover the whole of the back four. But I think a lot of people speak about Gareth Southgate playing with the handbrake on and the two sitters. He will look to the Iceland game and go, look how easy it is for them to go and get through the middle of us and get right at the heart of us. And this is not France, this is not Spain, it's not even the Germans or the Portuguese. This was Iceland. You know, a solid enough team in Europe, I get that, but if you want to win the Euros, you should be easily, you know, batting the calibre of Iceland away. I know it's only a friendly, people don't want to get injured, but again, defensively, I can't back the English. I can't do it.
I'm surprised he hasn't tried Joe Gomez at left back, considering he did so well there for large parts of the season when Andy Robertson was out, and you don't need a marauding left back the way England are going to play, with Trippier, as you say, having been out for so long. Like Luke Shaw, it feels like a massive risk. You're saying he might be back for the second game against Denmark.
He's trading the team, like.
But every time he comes back, he gets injured again. Now, he's obviously been talking about that and saying that maybe the pressure he's felt that he turns up for England but has been unavailable for Manchester United meant he rushed himself back. Defence with Gahey, he's not usually experienced at this level. Midfield looks like a big decision now, though, because Kobbie Mainoo didn't have a great game the last night. Trent Alexander-Arnold has been named as a midfielder. He has been given the number 8 jersey, and if you were to go by the 1-11, it would be Alexander-Arnold, and maybe he feels he gives him a little bit of flexibility in there as well. It did feel, watching them in the game against Bosnia, that Alexander-Arnold didn't look comfortable in the middle of midfield. When they moved him to right back, he actually ran the game when he moved to right back. He just strolled around the place. He was pinging. You know when Alexander-Arnold's on it, when he's pinging those 50, 60-yard cross-field balls? Or Conor Gallagher, who's just this ball of energy, will run around, will kick everybody, will win you the ball back. And maybe that's all you need. You need the composure of Rice, the energy of Gallagher. And then, as you say, from the team that started the last night, Bellingham is going to come into that. Saka is going to come into that.
In what formation, though?
Well, a 4-2-3-1. So you'll have Rice plus one. So either Gallagher, Alexander-Arnold, or Mainoo, or, as you're saying, Bellingham. But I'd say one of those three, and then you'd have Saka on the right, Bellingham as a 10, Foden out in the left, and Harry Kane up top.
Good team. And I think he might actually go with Gallagher in the middle just because of his energy with Declan Rice. And again, I think the Iceland game is a little slap on the wrist to think, you know, we can't get too ahead of ourselves here. We need to win the games that are going to be put in front of us. I expect England to get out of the group, but you know, there's a lot of boys there that have tough seasons. Like Bellingham's played most of the games for Real Madrid, gone all the way in the Champions League. He's still a young lad. I know he will have lots of energy, but
he's had knee problems.
This is what I'm saying. So a couple of lads pick up yellow cards and they're maybe suspended as they go into the latter end of the tournament. I think that starting 11, they're brilliant defensively. As we say, we have some question marks.
Who's playing centre back?
Stones and Gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even Stones, with the injury worry, Stones, is he robust enough to play every single game of the Euros for England? Probably not.
Trippier's playing right back and...
No, Trippier's playing left back and Walker's playing right back.
Okay.
Yeah, look, Trippier left back, I love Trips. I played a bit in my career with him. He's a brilliant lad and he'll give his all, but I think when you're a natural right footer and you're playing on the left, you're cutting off that pass to, if it's Gordon, if it's Foden, whoever it is on the left wing, you're naturally cutting off that pass because you want to come back in onto your right foot. So it's not ideal, but without a natural left footer, you really struggle to think who is going to play left back. Gomez could go out there, but again, you've got the same trouble with a right footer. And if Shaw is to play, you imagine if he plays in the second group game and then he gets a little bit better third game, we're into the quarter semi-finals, all of a sudden he's 1v1 against Dembele. He hasn't played since February.
Tricky.
I see too many weak spots in the English game.
A bit
game,
of an overreaction to Friday night, though. Look at France last night. Like, they're held to a scoreless draw by Canada.
Mm.
A lot of these players have been playing very, very big games right up until a fortnight ago. Some of their best players aren't even involved yet. Like, Mbappe comes off the bench late on. You know, Bellingham's not starting the last night. Saka's not starting the last night. You get your best players back on the pitch, they're going to have too much for almost all the teams in the group, you'd imagine. You get a bit of momentum. And a semi-final against France, you'd make France favourites. But if England get to that stage, I think it's job done.
Yeah, I take that. But, you know, I done the Spain and Northern Ireland game and Spain went 1-0 behind. You know, thinking, it's just one of these. Spain aren't too interested. Don't get injured. And within they seemed to just flick a switch and all of a sudden they scored 5 goals. And you're thinking, ooh, these are decent. And I didn't really see that from England. And again, it's not just that he got beat by Iceland. I'm sort of dismissing the friendly in itself, but when you look at the defensive players, the individuals who are going to play, the minutes on the pitch, the injuries they've had, they're not match sharp. I don't know. I think they could come unstuck very quickly, the English. And we know if they start having one or two dodgy performances, even if they go and beat Serbia in the first game and it's a sticky 1-0, the English media will come on top of them. And I don't know. I see them tripping themselves up fairly quickly.
Are we past Serbia being the dark horses? I feel I've picked them as dark horses for every recent tournament. And then they've just fallen incredibly flat. And it looks like a very similar squad with everybody just getting older.
So Serbia, Denmark, Slovenia are the other ones in England's group. The group of death is obviously Ireland's old group with Albania instead of us. Albania, Italy, Croatia and Spain. Everybody expects Germany to win their three group games, but maybe they'll struggle against Switzerland. They're playing Germany first up. John McGinn enjoying himself in German dancing.
Well, that feels like a huge game for Germany, whose expectation levels have shifted even through the friendlies over the past couple of months. We all think back to 2006 in that first game and win 4-0, blow the opposition apart, and the momentum just takes over the entire country. And you feel they have that ability to do that against Scotland, that they can go get a win, score a few goals.
Yeah.
The entire country comes together, home soil, all of that.
Toni Kroos.
Yeah, I wouldn't look too far past the Germans. I think, again, if you were to back the Germans, you'd get your money's worth. I think they'll go deep in it. And, you know, a lot of people are saying the Germans are maybe over the hill. If you look at Rudiger's been one of the best centre-halves around this season. Kimmich still has a little bit. Gundogan at Manchester City last season, excellent. Not too bad at Barcelona this season. Havertz, Leroy Sané. That's a really decent squad, you know. And with them having home advantage... Yeah, I wouldn't look too past the Germans. I think they'll go deep, and if they get a decent enough draw, who's to say they won't find themselves in a final? And then can you really back against the Germans in a home final?
And arguably the best manager in the competition as well.
Yeah, possibly. Really good tactician. But again, it's just like if you were to think if the tournament was somewhere else, it was in France or Spain, you probably would look away from the Germans quick enough. But the fact that it's in Germany, the final, the semis are going to be in probably 70, 80,000 seater stadiums, going to be mostly Germans. Very, very hard to overlook that, I think.
Whoever comes out of the group feeling good about life in the Spain, Croatia, Italy group as well will also feel great about the fact that they've got a bit of form behind them. Obviously, they'll all be standing at the end of the group, you would expect.
In all likelihood.
It's just that who has form and no card.
I think whoever finishes third in that group, if they all take points off each other, the third place could be in trouble of not qualifying. So if Italy... If they finish third and they get beat a couple of times, twice, and only pick up 3 points or whatever, they could end up going out.
Yeah, we did manage to. I think we finished third in our group, didn't we? Or did we finish ahead of
it? No, we finished third, yeah.
Yeah. So look, it's all set up. Should be good. I mean,
again, the Croatians are little dark horses. I know we're talking about Toni Kroos. It's going to be his last Euros. He might inspire the Germans. I think Modric should be close enough as well. So, you know, the Croatians will want to do something for him. And with Kovacic in the middle there as well, they know how to keep the ball. And there is times when they look dead on their feet, but you just can't get the ball off them. And they play in spells a game. So I think Croatia will go into the quarters, maybe semis as well.
Yeah, Spain have a bunch of kids who are like, you know, it might be a tournament too early for them all, but it might not.
It's just that tournament dynamic of the bit of momentum. And so you have Spain against Croatia on Saturday afternoon, and then Spain play Italy straight after that.
Yeah, yeah. So they could have two defeats and they could be really
suddenly you're in total crisis. Or, look, Spain have shown before they can lose the opening game and come back. Or you've suddenly got, again, that momentum and you start well. And, you know, if Italy were to draw against Albania first night out and suddenly you're having to play Spain in the next game, all of these things could happen. What about the Dutch?
I haven't mentioned them yet.
No, I don't fancy the Dutch. I think they'll get out of their group. I think they'll do okay. But in terms of actually winning it, I think at the top end, when we look the likes of England, France, Spain, Portugal, I think they're just a tier below those boys. And look, people will be shouting Van Dijk at me. Yeah, Van Dijk, brilliant. Probably one of the best centre-halves around still, but up the top end of the pitch with Gakpo, I think he can blow hot or cold. There's one or two others there that, you know, you're not really too sure what you're going to get at them. So I think they'll do okay for what they are, but in terms of winning it, no, I don't think they'll be anywhere.
Tricky group, Poland, Austria and France in their group. And then are France everybody's favourites? Like, is that, if you go into your head, are you saying France?
France, yeah. I can't see anybody beating France.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to disagree with that. Like, it's one of those moments where you kind of think that for the last couple of months, Kylian Mbappe's kind of been a little bit off stage. Either, obviously, I mean, was it his fourth consecutive golden boot in the top tier French football? Obviously, didn't have a terrible season with PSG in the Champions League either. But it still feels that like next year is when his career goes to the next level. I'd say when he sees a talk about the likes of Vinicius and Bellingham for Ballon d'Or, he's like, no, I'm going to change that this summer.
Yeah, he'll definitely have the bit between his teeth. And again, everybody talks about Mbappe with France, and of course he's a very, very dangerous player. You don't want to get into foot races with him. You don't want to be left 1v1. But I think Griezmann is the one. He's so robust. He sets off the press. He's the one who's the link. And he has this incredible record of playing so many games in a row for France. So he's the real talisman. As dangerous as Mbappe is, Griezmann is the one that gets France ticking. Dembele on the other wing, just as dangerous as Mbappe on his day. But again, I know I'm speaking about the English defence, but you look at the French defence, Saliba probably won't even play. And he's been so good for Arsenal this season. Hernandez, left-back, Upamecano, Konate, all of these boys would play in the English defence if they were English. So
yeah.
I think France have a better all-round squad. I think they've more threats off the bench. The defence is more solid. And yeah, I just can't look past the French. I don't see anybody beating them.
Okay. Just sleeping on this tournament, though.
I know, totally, yeah.
Like, this weekend, you need to start planning your weekends, planning your days.
Except no invitations to anything.
Saturday, 5 o'clock. Spain, Croatia.
It's a good game.
Cancel everything else.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday. They've, in fairness, the 2 o'clock games for the kids in school, they'll be all right. Monday, Romania, Ukraine. Wednesday, Croatia, Albania. Thursday, Slovenia, Serbia. Friday, Slovakia, Ukraine.
The Leaving Cert students are the ones who get punished the most. Is there any gossip in League of Ireland circles about who the next Ireland manager is going to be? Tell us now. Go on. Just reveal it exclusively.
Exclusively? Yeah. Well, the FAI have approached me and they've asked me. I'm only Joe. It's nothing to do with me. I don't know. I'm hearing they're still trying to speak to Willy Sagnol, but obviously he's going to the Europe, so he's not too interested in speaking at the minute, but I think John is putting his name forward. I know it's three friendlies and people are very quick to dismiss friendlies, but I see little tactical tweaks within the game that I like. We're a lot more pragmatic, a lot more realistic. It's a lot more functional to actually go and win a game. You know, I think with the old Irish team, we were looking at the game on a piece of paper and think if this happens, we do that and we do that. But really, the game is not played on paper. It's a lot tougher than that. So when Brady got it on Friday night, a lot of balls were just clipped into the channels. Ida had a lot of fighting balls. The 3-4-3 formation really suits us because it's just a question of yardage. Like if Brady goes 10 yards forward, he's in the midfield. If he comes 10 yards back, he's a defender. So we can easily slip into a 5-4-1 when we don't have the ball. And when we do have it, it's a 3-4-3. So I think we carried a little bit more of an attacking threat. Defensively, we looked a little bit more solid. I was happy with Smallbone. I think with him getting promoted to the Premier League with Southampton doing really well in the final, I'm starting to pin my hopes on him being the one that can get on the half turn and make things happen. I know he's having a lot of defensive responsibilities as well there with Cullen. But the goal we scored, Adam Eadie's goal, I think when Smallbone crosses that, I don't think that happens under Stephen Kenny. I think he gets told to come back out. There's only one target in the box, recycle it, keep it, wait till we find a better opportunity. This time he just lumps it in there. Adam Eadie gets his head in it and 1-0 up. That for me is a beautiful goal. And a lot of people are saying, oh, we're sort of just passive and we're hanging about and it. That's the way this Irish team stick about. That's the only way we do it. And if you want to be sexier and open up, just look back to the last 3 years.
That wasn't the last 3 years. Like, the first couple of years of Stephen Kenny were very open and him trying to transform Irish football and going way too far. And we had Bazunu trying to play it around at the back and everyone looking incredibly nervous and not quite sure what to do because they didn't trust the midfield to give it to them and the different parts never connected. The last couple of years were just like what we've seen from John O'Shea. There were a lot of long balls. It was a lot more practical. Yeah, there were times where they tried to play it a bit more, but I'm struggling to see any great shift in what O'Shea has done in these first three games.
Josh Cullen mistake against France and Paris. Does that happen under John O'Shea as well?
Josh Cullen, a minute before they scored the last time, makes the exact same mistake. Well, and they don't take advantage of it.
In a less dangerous position.
It was
on the right wing
of the area.
I take your point. There's probably not, from where Stephen finished to where Jonas took off, there's probably not that much of a difference. But to where Stephen started to how we're playing now, there's a big, big difference. And the fact that Stephen's, you know, he gave us this spiel that, you know, we're going to play this different type of football. We're going to get rid of the British style. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And everybody thought, oh, okay. And then it fell flat. And then we started to get a little bit more resilient, but we still weren't getting the results. And look at these sort of games against bigger opposition, the likes of Hungary, we can sort of, people expect us to suffer, they expect us to run around, they expect Hungary to have the lion's share of the ball. It's when you have your Gibraltars, your Luxembourg, these boys come to town, people want to see, can we go 4-3-3, can we go and exert ourselves over this? But when the big boys come to town, and look, big boys is probably a bit of exaggeration, I'm talking about the majority of European teams come to the Aviva.
Everybody now, yeah.
Yeah, look, where it is where we are minnows now. We're looking up at an awful lot of European teams. I get that when lower teams come here, we can open up, we can be a little bit more sexy. But generally, we're going to have to be very, very pragmatic and walk towards Euro 2028 because we're hosting it and we want to be in it.
Yeah. You were one of the few people in the world to predict that Shane Duffy would start last week. Didn't have his best game, it's fair to say. Does Jake O'Brien just go straight in?
Well, Jake O'Brien did okay when he came on, but him and Scales, the passing between them, they were putting themselves under an awful lot of pressure. O'Brien would pick up the ball, he would give it across, and the press was set to go there, but he would still give it to Scales. Scales would have his first touch, and all of a sudden he was crowding. You're thinking, maybe just click one over the top till they go over. Maybe he's not going to play that pass anymore. It was sort of, we're passing from A to B, and the press was very, very set to go and get it. So I don't think any of the centre-halves that come on really covered themselves in glory, to be honest with you. But I thought O'Shea, Duffy and Coleman was unbelievable. People keep trying to convince me that he's coming towards the end and, you know, we need to find somebody else in there. He's bringing an awful lot to the squad. You know, Szoboszlai, him and Szoboszlai were having their own little Merseyside derby there. They were really getting at it.
He was great in the last home game as well.
He got against Switzerland. He got man of the match
against Belgium. He had Doku,
Belgium.
Didn't he?
Yeah,
and Doku got him the first time, you'll remember, and then he didn't get him again. Watching him the last night, though, he almost plays himself down about, I can't get to the end line as much. He looked better and more influential on the right wing.
Yeah.
On the right of the... It felt like he could do both jobs playing out there, whereas actually by playing him on the right of the back three, he just can't get forward as much, whereas...
I think but having him on the right of the back three means that we could have him there for the next campaign and you'd be penciling that in and saying, we'll actually have you for two full seasons, so keep going. That would be my...
Potentially, but his level... I mean, we shouldn't be surprised. Remember, he's playing for a Premier League team for well over, 15 seasons at this stage? So his level is higher than anybody else in that squad and what he's been used to at training and what he's facing at training week in, week out for years. So he just has that desire in him still. And like last week was the Roy Keane line of just go and kick someone, just start a fight. Like that's what he did in the second half. The game was dead, it was a real lull and he just got at Szoboszlai and he sparked the rest of the team, he sparked the crowd. And like that's what you want from your captain. But tomorrow night could be, I know Portugal are planning on rotating, but Ronaldo didn't play the last night. It looks like it's going to be his last ever home game in Portugal. We know what he did
kick
to
him.
Us.
Kick him early, kick him off.
We know what he did the last time and what was maybe Stephen Kenny's their best performance for Ireland when he scored those late goals against Portugal. Like, Portugal are maybe a bit of a dark horse for the Euros when you look at the amount of attacking talent that they have there. If it's, you know, Ronaldo and Leao and Diogo Jota, Pedro Neto's still in the squad, who, you know, if he could ever stay fit, would definitely be at a probably a Champions League club, you would expect. The worry, and this is the madness of the O'Shea conversation in a way, and, you know, John O'Shea was asked last week of, you know, does this win prove that you're ready to be manager? He said, oh, proves we can win games. Like, again, if Troy Parrott misses that, does it prove he can't win games? Like, we're judging the next 4 years on a couple of friendlies.
Yeah, I listened to Owen Doyle talking about the Troy Parrott trance when he goes through and he smoddocks to the left of him, and I was doing the commentary on the radio and I shouted as he did it, you lucky, lucky boy, because he makes the wrong decision. It's the wrong decision to take the shot on when you've a 2v1 against the goalkeeper. You just shift it to the left and let Smodic pass it. The fact that he hits it, I get that he's confident he's scoring goals, I get that, but it's the wrong decision. The contact he makes is not great contact. I think the keeper sort of half expecting the pass, so he sort of goes for the pass and it hits him in the knee and goes in, but I'd say he was sweating there. And if I was Smodic, I'd have just given him a little hug as he scored and went, you're a lucky, lucky boy, because I was warming up my vocal cords to give you a right ear lashing. But as it is, it hits the back of the net and we go and win the ball on the halfway line. I know it's the last minute of the game and Hungary should never be caught like that, but I thought our press was an awful lot better. We won the ball in the final third a lot, and I know not an awful lot came of it, but we were nicking the ball, and if we could get Cullen to get his head up when he wins it and play that force ball forward, we could go right at the heart of people. But look, these are all building blocks. I do think we're getting better, you know, percentage by percentage, but we still have an awful long way to go.
I see people saying that appointing John O'Shea would be a PR move at this stage, but it isn't. It's the best available candidate to us and the only available candidate to us that we trust to do the job in a reasonable way, and we're going to have to accept that it's going to be a long and difficult road for him because he's got no experience and so he's learning on the job, and that's the situation we find ourselves in world football at the moment, where we can't convince Willy Sagnol or Gus Poyet or a bunch of mediocre international managers to come and take the job.
That's pretty much where we're at. And, you know, people say to me, how can John O'Shea be considered for the job? He's never had a club job. He's never managed internationally by himself. But when you peel it back and you think you take all the variables that Gus Poyet doesn't want, the Lee Carsley doesn't want, that there's one or two others that have turned it down, Willy Sagnol is going to the Euros, we've got to the point now where we're like, yeah, okay, maybe it is John O'Shea. And that's, you know, this is... When you speak like this, it sort of sounds like you're being disrespectful to John. I don't want it to come across like that, but he's a novice in terms of managing,
yeah,
and you shouldn't get the Ireland job if you haven't managed before. So, look, his three friendlies up to now have been encouraging. I think we've done okay. I think there's something there to think, okay, maybe, yeah, we can build something here and become harder to beat. But it doesn't get your juices flowing. You know, it doesn't get you on the edge of your seat and thinking, right, I want to watch the next Ireland game. It sort of is what it is.
Does Tom Cannon get game time tonight just to bed him in and make sure that we see what he's like and he sees what we're like? And
why does he need to see what we're like?
Well, because he's obviously keeping his options open there, Nathan.
Well, that's not how this works. We're not here to prove ourselves to anyone.
Well, I think you'll find we're trying to prove ourselves to any international manager who will have us / many mediocre footballers.
If Tom Cannon's last 12 months had gone differently, would he be in this Irish squad?
No.
So are you saying don't play him, don't pick him, Cannon?
I think if you want to play him, if John O'Shea feels he's deserving of game time and he's doing a bit of rotation, stick him in there.
Would you like to see him?
I'm not fussed whether he plays or not. I don't think he's going to be starting in the, certainly against England or in those first run of games. If he has a brilliant season next year, you can move very quickly through the international ranks. And are we sitting here and you're going, you didn't want him playing and now he's gone off playing for England. We have the chance to tie him down.
Yeah, but even if we cap him tonight, he can still go, because it's only a
totally,
friendly.
Yeah, he needs three games then.
John has an easy out with Troy scoring and he comes in and playing well at his club as well. So I think Troy will maybe start tomorrow and we might see Cannon, but I wouldn't be too fussed if we did or we didn't. You know, when people are on the fence like that, or they perceive to be on the fence like that, I don't think they're good for the dressing room. You either want to be there or you don't.
The fact that he showed up suggests he probably does want to be here.
Yeah, but keep showing up. So, again, I think if you want to bring him on at the end of the game and you feel he's done enough in training over the last couple of weeks, fine. he'll get his game time over the next couple of years as his club form improves. He will get plenty of game time.
Give us your team.
I go the same as the last time. The same as the Hungary game. I think everybody did well.
You're not playing Duffy and Doherty again.
I play Duffy and Doherty again. Yeah, why not? It's a 2-1 win. I know again people will be shouting it's only a friendly, but Hungary haven't been turned over in the last 14 games. They're a tough nut to crack, and the fact that we've won, we need to stop thinking about, you know, well, progression, and this fella deserves a game, this fella deserves a game. We need to start putting a shape on this team, and we need to start getting our best 11 out and going out all the time and stop handing out caps like Skittles. Like, does Tom Cannon deserve a cap? Probably, but we're in a different place. We need to get our 11 set. This is our best 11. This is where we're going to play. We all know Ferguson will probably come in for Aida, but other than that, I think we're there or thereabouts. Or Benny will come in for Azaz. But other than that, I think we're there or thereabouts. You could probably rotate Duffy with Scales and O'Brien. But other than that, I think we're there or thereabouts. And we have the bones of the team. And I don't think we should mess with it too much. We need to get a blueprint of how we're going to play, what players are going to play. And, you know, if you play well, you come in. If not, you go out.
And so for this game, it's either, are you giving Azaz another opportunity?
Yeah, I'd stick with him. I thought he did okay. He drifted in and out. And look, again, I think Ogbeni, when he comes back, he will be the one on the right. Schmolik will play on the left. Ferguson will be through the middle. But the lads there, they deserve to play. They did well against Hungary. So I'd say, look, you deserve it. There's a pat on the back. Keep going.
What do you think will be the team?
Duffy, I think, had a bit of a knock. So maybe that'll make the decision for him. And you'd imagine O'Brien will be a natural fit. I wouldn't be surprised if he finished with the defence that played the majority of the second half. So O'Shea on the right, O'Brien, Scales, play Coleman on the right-hand side. Maybe you bring Mikey Johnson in instead of Azaz. In a way against Portugal, does he get enough of the ball? Do you go the other way and do you bring Jason Knight in instead of Azaz? So you're adding an extra body who can get up and down the pitch a little bit more. It just felt the game passed him by a little bit. It's his first ever start for Ireland. You can't judge him too harshly, but I'd be surprised if it wasn't Cullen and Smallbone in the middle again. Smodish will start, Ede will start.
Yeah, I think if Coleman plays right back, an out and out right back, I think if Rafael Leão is over there, it's very difficult. And Mikey Johnson is ahead of him, not defensively too switched on. I think it could be a lot of 1v1s, which Coleman might say, yeah, no problem, bring it on. But away from home to Portugal,
so then
you want to dampen that down early doors.
If that is the case, does Jason Knight start there for you instead of? Because he can play anywhere.
Yeah, you could, but you're playing him there, and you know you're saying, give us what you can go forward, but defensively, just come back and help. Don't let Leão build up speed. So it's more of a defensive move than an attacking one. But we all know Knight can eat up that ground when he wants to, when he can get going. And you'd imagine that Leão doesn't want to go backwards either. So there's a double-edged sword there, but it's going to be hot over there as well. The Portuguese are going to keep the ball. It's going to be an awful lot of suffering. So
we like a bit of suffering. Maybe we like the misery. Right. Anybody else? Anything on the football?
I'm just more and more frightened by Portugal the more I
look at the team.
Start thinking about
They're not going to be tuned in. They're England.
Oh, but even at the Euros.
Oh yeah.
Joao Pedro is just on the verge of move to Bayern Munich. Bruno Fernandes, Bernardo Silva. Spoke about some of the attacking players they have.
Is Ronaldo not a problem?
Well, that I think, as we probably talked to some Portuguese journalists over the tournament, they'll say he absolutely is. That they're a better team without him, but.
Well, 10 Euro qualification goals. He still has it. What's he, 39 now? Do you think Pepe will play, the 41-year-old?
Did he play the other night?
Did he play in the friendly, yeah?
He's leaving Porto as well, so you'd have to think.
He's in the squad, yeah.
Ruben Diaz there as well.
Good team.
It's good. And they're on that side of the draw away from France and England as well, so.
If they hadn't collapsed against Morocco in the World Cup, like, who knows what their World Cup would have been like.
That's the only thing I think you can throw at this Portuguese team. If they go 1-0 down and the ref is probably having a couple of dodgy calls, they can get the bottom lip out and have a bit of a strop rather than getting down and dirty and just forcing the game. But unbelievable talent on paper, should go very, very close. But like I say, I think when the tide goes against them, they don't really wrestle it back. That's the only one criticism I have of them.
All right. Monday show's in the books. Tomorrow we're going to be looking back on Rashida Adeleke, hopefully winning our third gold medal at the European Athletics Championships in Rome. James Tracy is going to join us, Tommy Rooney, and much more besides. It's the 10th of June. Happy birthday to Carlo Ancelotti. What age is he?
66.
65 is correct.
I was just reading Carlo's been in the papers today talking about the Club World Cup going, nah, not for us.
Not going to do it.
Nah, 20 million quid to Real Madrid. We get that for one game. FIFA are trying to have us on here.
All right.
Show us the money.
Okay. Well, they're going to have to show them the money. I didn't realise that it wasn't a done deal that the clubs might just go,
I think FIFA think it's a done deal. Madrid are obviously starting the bargaining.
But the point is that they'll be able to give them 200 million and they'll just buy them for that. But then they have to give them too much money. Barcelona's Ona Batier.
On the show, she was on Koi Gig last year. 31.
28.
24.
25 is correct. Manchester United cult hero Ronnie Johnson.
Oh, well,
59.
He really missed the opportunity to have Tash, didn't he?
53.
25 years on.
What did you say?
53.
52.
What is Ronnie Johnson? 55. Comedian Bill Burr.
50.
Yeah,
the stereotypical mass hole.
55
is correct. Elizabeth Hurley. What age is Elizabeth Hurley?
Oh, Liz Hurley. 62.
63.
59.
Aye. 59 is correct. Have a blissful week. See you tomorrow.